Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We did not realize that was going to be your first root beer float after you killed your biggest deer.
Yeah.
We knew you'd hit him. But we didn't realize you were going to get him.
What in my track record would tell you that I'd hit one and not find it?
I don't know.
It's never happened in the last couple of years. My mic's a little loose or something, but yeah. I haven't even told you guys a story yet, really.
Mm-mm.
Been saving it. we'll jump into that in a second. Rack's Big Game Supplements. RacksMinerals.com, you can check them out. Rodney Hawkins, Midwest Farm and Land, and RG Outdoors, 618-925-3153. If you got land you want to sell, if you want to buy land in Illinois, you can talk to them about that. If you want Tacticam trail cameras or Radix stands or blinds or Fission e-bikes or Peck patio furniture, give them a call about that too. He'll get you hooked up. So, I hunted for like 10 minutes tonight. You hunted like all day.
I did hunt all day.
Yeah. I hunted this morning, too. Like, I saw some deer, but it was all within 5 minutes. Like, I had 5 minutes of action, and I think I saw seven deer or something like that. Six or seven. Anyway, I had a coyote blow a doe to me, because she came running, and I was like, oh, here we go.
This afternoon.
This morning.
Oh, this morning.
November 9th, because I was after that other deer. I thought, November 9th, here comes a doe running. This is good. Well, then the coyote went through. Then, I don't know, about 8:30, three bucks went through, all within 2 minutes of each other. Maybe things will pick up. It's dead after that. I did see a fork horn somewhere in there, too. And then I caught a glimpse of a buck up in the timber at like 9 o'clock, and then that was it. So, I mean, I saw five bucks altogether, but it was a very short hunt. You had a good one behind you this morning.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't really. This morning's like that mid-afternoon, or mid-morning, late morning.
Yeah.
What was it, like 10:30 or something like that?
Yeah. Hey, Hunter, go on to his mic, click his mic in there, and take off the effect on it. All right, we're back. Mid-morning, you saw that one buck.
Yeah, I think it was at like 10:30, I think.
I don't remember when you texted.
I think it's 10:30 because it's like right at 10:30. Couldn't hear nothing today. Like, not a thing. I had a doe at like 7 o'clock just pop out underneath me on the trail in front of me. There's a tree I'm set up in. There's a limp, or it's a twin oak or twin trunk tree. And I cannot see to my left very good with that trunk right there. So I just sit there, and all of a sudden there's a doe pops up on this trail right below me at like, I think it's 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
She walked on through, never heard her once. I'm like,
and she was right there.
Right there. I'm like, so I'm going to be really looking at
in the timber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in that draw.
Mm-hmm.
He slowly just puts his phone away.
yeah. Right.
But no, it's about 10:30. I just sat there, scanning these draws just up and down, and then all of a sudden I just heard crunch, crunch behind me. I'm like, that's got to be close if I can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned around and there's one bounding away at like 25 yards, and he stopped at about 40, and I was able to get a good look at him, and he just standing there looking around, and I'm like, I might have screwed that one up. Mm-hmm. And I got a good look at him. I wouldn't have shot him because it's not the deer I was in there after, but because I'm after this one deer now.
Right.
But if he came running in and I just got a quick glance at him, 1,000% shooting him.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, he's probably high 40s. He's low 50s.
Yeah. A good deer.
Very nice deer.
Is that was about all you saw today, though, right? Either afternoon it was slow, or did you see some deer this afternoon?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was stupid this afternoon. Stupid bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was slow all day. I think I seen 9-10 deer all day. And it was just trickle. Like one here, hour and a half, 2 hours later, there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Then this afternoon, I did slip up to that field edge. And then that wind was ridiculous. The deer did not like it at all.
Yeah.
One came out of the thicket, a young buck, and just stood at the edge of the thicket, ran and sprinted hard across the field and ducked into the draws in. Then another doe popped out of the thicket. She's like, nah, I ain't about this life. And went back to her bed, I'm sure.
Yeah. The wind where I was at this afternoon was brutal, too. Like, similar to yours, just coming across a wide open field, hitting you right in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. The deer had a little bit of cover from it, I guess, because of the grass that was there. But I have no idea how the rest of them acted because I only saw two deer. But this morning, I didn't get any of those on video because they were in this tree program stuff. And the last time I tried to film one through there, I never even found him on the camera. Turns out I was on him for part of the time, but I never even found him on the viewfinder until he was basically gone. So I was like, there's no use. For one, I was cold. And two, I was like, there's no use even trying. They're going to be out of there before I get the camera turned on and on them. And they were cruising through pretty quick.
But. Yeah, like the only deer I could have got on camera today was a spike. And I bet the one side was maybe 4 inches and the other one was maybe 2 inches long.
Dang.
And I was like, I'm not getting my hands out for that.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Because it was cold.
Yeah, you went this afternoon and...
Yep, 4 bucks, 2 does. I didn't think I was going to get to go. Slipped up there, I don't know, 3 o'clock probably. I think I got crawled in. As I got to the bottom of the ladder to crawl up in that blind, I scanned the plot. Of course, I was scanning the plot as I was going in, but this is like the easiest place ever to get in.
Yeah.
I think you could get in there with deer in the plot if you saw them and were careful.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm standing at the bottom of the ladder looking through the brush, and I was like, oh, there's a deer. He picked his head up. I was like, it's not a bad 8-pointer. He's a 3-year-old. Let him work the whole plot. He got out of there. When I got up into the blind, as I was stepping in the door, I look out the window, and then there was a spike or a 4-pointer or something, and then a 2.5-year-old just staring up at me. I was like, well, this is not good. And they stood there for a couple minutes, and then they just trotted off in different directions. Of course, mm-hmm. We all froze. But right. Anyway, yep, no good there. Then another little buck came through the plot messing around, and then 2 does messed around out there. Clouds rolled back in. It got dark pretty early.
Yeah.
So I slipped on out of there. I knew you'd shot one, so I wasn't going to mess around in there too long. Mm-hmm. I figured as long as I don't have deer around me and it's too dark to shoot now, you know.
Right.
I thought I was still plenty of light to see, but if I can't shoot, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here while there ain't nothing around.
Yeah, I do that quite a bit, especially on food, because you know at some point they're probably going to be there. And then
yep.
If you wait too long, you're there all night, or you got to spook them to get out. But last night, it was like dead still. And I was on the food plot at the cabin, the north plot, and everything's pretty close quarters there, like within 50 yards for sure if they're in the plot. And a lot of times they're within 20. And those does were so wigged out by everything. Of course, there were birds flying around the blind, and every time a bird would fly around, they'd look up there. And like if I was trying to move the camera or something, I'm like, at one point, I saw 2 bigger does had come out, one right after the other one, and... Then I caught a glimpse of something else coming out, and I caught a glimpse of rack through that one tree that's out there, kind of in the way. I saw a rack through the brush. And I was pretty sure it wasn't the big 8 because it was the wrong color, but I couldn't tell what it was. So I've got the GoPro over here, and I've got this camera over here, and I'm, like, trying to move this camera to him and turn the GoPro on, and they looked up, and I'm just like this for, like, 30 seconds, just frozen like a scarecrow, trying to get everything turned on. Well, it ended up being a 4-corn that come through. He stood out there and fed for a long time. Well, a coyote come through. There were does in the middle plot, too. That big doe, the size of my truck with the 3 fawns, was in that plot. Well, a coyote come through, blew them all out. I didn't know it was a coyote again at first. I just thought, hey, something's happening over there, and they're running this way. Then I saw the coyote go through, but they all blasted through there. They got out of there. One doe went east into the brush, and the rest of them all went west. I'm sorry, flip that. One of them went west, and the rest of them all went east. So the only one left had the spike between her and the rest of the herd. And she came, or the four corn, and she came out and she.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
She just stopped and looked at him, and then she threw like a big juke and like jumped this way and jumped that way and went boom right around him, and he was just like. He had no idea what just happened.
Did he take off after?
No, he finally. Oh, really? No, he finally just like worked out of the plot. I think he was so confused by what she just did. You ever seen Mall Cop?
Yeah.
It was like Paul Blart on the Segway when he's like juking the guy out. That's what it reminded me of. Anyway, then I ended up seeing like a pretty 2.5-year-old 8-pointer that had some height to him last night. But he was so still, like you couldn't get away with anything, even in that blind.
Yep.
Tonight was completely the opposite. Tomorrow's supposed to be that way too, but we're talking about that wind. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to do an interview in the tree tonight and have any kind of audio on it. So I was like, I better do one in the truck. And I'm like, nah, I'll catch time when the wind's not blowing and I'll do it on the GoPro.
When was that?
Well, never. but I was going to try to make it happen, at least turn my back to it and use the GoPro. Because the GoPro usually does better with that media thing on it than the big mics, like those ones. So I thought, I'll just do that. So I got out, I got dressed, got the bike out, got the bow put on it, and got back there. There's a half mile back there, which is why I take the bike, because I don't want to walk it. And I got up in the stand and took my backpack off, and I look up, and the way this is, there's a big grass strip, and then it's mowed on either side of it, and there's a food plot out in front of me. Like, it looks like Kansas or Iowa or something. It's pretty sweet. It's the GoPro picture I sent you guys the other day that was awesome. Fortunately, I had that again tonight, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I saw her on that far grass strip between, or far mowed strip between tall grass and the woods. And I thought, well, she'll end up down here in the food plot because there's a trail that comes from about where she was at down into the food plot. Well, she turned and went the other way. I thought, well, maybe she won't. So I just went ahead and put my stuff up. I got the camera on the tree. I got it all snapped in, got the mic put on. I turned and got my arrow out of my quiver and was putting it on my bow. And I look over and she's in the food plot. I thought, all right, this is good. They're moving early because this was like 2:30 or something like that. Snap my arrow on, make sure she's not watching, take my quiver off, put it in my backpack, turn around. I get a little bit of video of her. She's just constantly looking back in the weeds. And I thought, this is either really good or the wind's got her freaked out. Because, like, she was looking at something. So I kept my eye on that over there, that trail, because you can kind of see where it comes in. Same trail that big one came in after dark the other night. You can kind of see where they're coming in. So I'm watching it. Finally, I sit down. Because I'd been standing that whole time, and I was like, oh, I'll sit down. Nothing's come yet. It had been a few minutes. She was kind of out there by herself. So I sit down, and I look back up, and she takes off. She bounces out of the food plot. And that got my attention, because, you know, when they do that, either obviously a coyote or a buck. And I thought, well, here comes a spike. But then I just see that dude's rack come out of the weeds and into the food plot, and I was like, oh, dang, he's a pretty good deer. And as soon as he came out, I was like, that's a shooter, because I could tell he was a mature buck, and I could see his height. Like, that left side was out there, and he's tall. He wasn't like, I don't know, 14 inches G2s or nothing, but he carried the height. And his twos and threes are both pretty good, like 10 inches. So I turned the camera on, back on, because I had it off. I reached up, I turned the GoPro on, and I grabbed my bow, and I went back, and I hit the button, the record button, with my thumb in my glove, and I got on the deer, I zoomed in, and you can see all this on the GoPro, and he was at 40 yards when he first came out. Well, that doe bounced off, there's a trail that leads out of the food plot at like 50, and that's where she had went. So I'm like, this is where it's going to happen right here, because he's just following her. So I draw back, and he takes like two steps, and I look down and make sure he's on my viewfinder, which you can see on the GoPro, and I get anchored in on him, and I tried to stop him once, and he didn't hear it, and I got a little louder, and he stopped, and he was quartering two, and I let it fly and hit it. Like, I thought I hit him just a little bit back of where I was aiming, and midship, though, like up and down. I knew up and down I was good. I knew he was going to die. It's just a matter of when. I couldn't tell how far back. I knew he was quartering, so I thought it was a pretty good shot. So I'm like, sweet. That took like 10 minutes. I don't even have to sit here in the wind. That was a really nice deer. This is great. So I turn around, I hang my bow up, and I look back at the camera, and it's not recording. And I was like, no. Which you can also see on the GoPro, because I think I went like this. And then I was like, I think I turned. I was like, please tell me I was freaking recording. And I went down and I hit the media thing and I opened it up and it wasn't there. And I just like fell back down in my seat. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And at this time, I had no idea what I had on the GoPro. Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, like I said earlier, this is a spot that it honestly sets up great for self-filming if you hit the record button. But the GoPro's up over my shoulder. 90% of the time, I have that thing facing me because mm-hmm. that's the best place I have for it. Mm-hmm. But there, I have it facing the food plot. So the GoPro actually got all of it, and I think it did a good enough job that I can make a decent video out of it. It's not going to be like Jared Mills quality video or Heartland Bowhunter, but it's going to be decent.
It's going to be Ridge Hunter Outdoors.
That's right. Quality. You can see the buck. You can tell he's a good buck. And mm-hmm. then there's actually some stuff I can do to clean it up, so it'll be a little bit better than what I sent you guys. So anyway, I was super relieved when I got back here and put it on the screen mm-hmm. and played it back and realized I had everything. And then I was even more relieved when I saw the shot was even better than I thought it was. Because mm-hmm. when it hit him, he drops down into it, and he's loading his legs, and that front leg goes back. And it wasn't terribly far behind his leg when it was back. And I'm like, that's good, because he's quarter, and I at least knew I got in the rib cage. Well, ended up, I got part of the liver. I got in the liver. I center punched that offside lung, and it looked like I might have cut the onside lung. And so, again, I knew he was dead, but there was no reason to go after him right there. So I apologize for not getting it on camera. I got down. I filmed going and getting the arrow. Arrow looked good, had bubbles on it. Lung, liver, just like I thought. I figured, I looked at the blood. There was some bright red blood. There was some little bit darker blood. I thought, all right, we're in good shape. So I just backed out, went to the truck, and I was like, we're going to give it time. Called, make sure I had permission on the landowners. And we just waited till dark. I think they were hunting over there anyway, so waited till dark. Went in. I had blood up to the timber. We found some where he went in. And we got to shining lights around, and you kind of see him laying there up, I don't know, 60 yards into the timber. Like, dang, that's pretty good. And he had been dead for a long time. Like, he was pretty stiff already. So I'm saying, I saw him leave the plot at 2:45, something like that. He probably died right there. Like, he probably died running. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was very, very quick hunt. Wish I would have got it on camera, on the bigger camera, because I did all the work. I mean, you got it on
camera, but it wasn't on record.
Right. It did all the work. And you can see him on the GoPro, on the viewfinder. You can see the deer where he needs to be. And, like, it's pretty good.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, I was devastated when I found that out. I'm still upset that I didn't get it on that. I'm somewhat relieved that it was on the GoPro, but that video will come out hopefully soon after yours does, because we haven't talked since you killed your buck either. Mm-mm. The goofy buck. Blake and the goofy buck. Which is why you're holding out for that one now, because you already filled your tag. First tag. That was an adventure.
That was 2 days I don't ever want back or relive.
But end result.
End result, pretty good.
It was mm-hmm. positive. Mm-hmm. So I guess you want to talk about it?
I mean, unless you okay. just don't.
I don't care.
This was the deer that I would... wasn't going to shoot.
Mm-hmm. Originally.
Yeah, originally. Then I got one picture, or I guess three pictures, where he's just standing next to this two-year-old and just towers over this thing. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, he dwarfed that deer.
He's bigger than I think. And, well, it turns out he's about the size I thought he was, which does not make me feel great. But
yeah, that's all right.
He's
a cool deer.
He's cool.
You'll never get a chance to shoot anything like that again.
No.
No. So I'm happy with it. But I purposely avoided hunting him because I knew I'd be tempted to shoot him.
Uh-huh.
And like the first 15 days of October, he was in the food plot like 8 out of 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And daylighted twice. So I was already way behind the eight ball after I decided to I was going to hunt him. And then I seen
him. Yeah, because you could have had him killed the first week.
Yeah. No kidding. But no, then I was.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long.
And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Seen him twice, I think, wasn't it? For sure?
At least.
Twice?
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure twice.
Yeah, I got in the stand one day and he was bedded.
He was bedded that one day. And
yeah.
And you saw him work that edge a different day, right?
Yes.
Those were two different times?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember those dates at all.
No, I don't either.
All the days have ran together here recently.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, what day was that? I even killed him. The second? The
third?
Second.
Yeah, it was the second. You're right, because it was the day before you killed a high rise.
Yeah, same tree.
Yeah, same tree.
Yeah.
Same plot.
Yeah, well, I missed that buck on before.
Oh, that's right.
The day before Halloween.
Yeah.
So I was very down in the dumps about that.
Mm-hmm.
So then that night, I shot the buck. I had a great sit that night. I seen it plenty of deer.
Yeah.
Seen the Big Ten. Again, with a doe, again.
Mm-hmm.
You
still shoot him, right? Okay, just making sure. I mean, he's not that one, but he'd be okay.
He's bigger, but I'm obsessed with this 8-pointer right now.
Yeah.
But, I was actually watching him. I seen the goofy buck come out of the thicket to the south. He's chasing 3 or 4 does, came out. They all came running out of there. They was digging around the hay field. He worked over the cattle lot, jumped into there with the does. I'm like, well, that's where he's going to be staying for night or till dark. And I looked out to the northeast or northwest, and across the cornfield came the Big Ten with a doe. I'm like, wow, I'm closer,
uh-huh.
But still not close. So I'm just sitting there watching him through my binoculars, and I actually got some video of him. Then I look back into the hayfield. And there's the goofy bucket at 100 yards. I'm like, oh, he's right here. Mm-hmm. So I think I had the camera turned off. I turned it on. I was like, if I get it on camera, we're good. And if I'm not, I don't care.
See, I'm and totally bummed that I didn't get mine on camera. He's just like, the camera's there.
I'm there for
it's
one thing.
Just kind of in the way, really.
I'm there for one thing. Yeah. If I get the second thing, it's a bonus.
Right.
But, because it's getting down to the last light. I'm like, and he's just taking his time, milling around, eating clover in the hayfield. I'm like, come on, mm-hmm. Let's go. He finally works into it, and he's like 45. I'm like, let's get a little closer. I mean, it's dead still calm that night. Mm-hmm. Dead still. And then he just starts milling around the food plot, just eating and eating. He gets to about 40. I'm like, it's go time.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I just hoped that the camera had him.
Yeah.
And I zoomed all the way out because I didn't know exactly where it was because I was just focused on
right
that. And I drew back, got it on him. Well, and I broke a rule that I have. I'm like, I don't ever try to shoot a deer with his head down. I broke that rule.
Yeah.
He jumped that string better than crap.
Yeah.
And he just ducked. And I hit where I was aiming, but he moved.
Yeah.
And it hit in front of his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, I don't know what I hit, but I hit something because he was struggling there for a day and a half.
Right.
So I...
Yeah, you hurt him bad.
I hurt him bad.
You put two holes in him. That's not good for him.
Yeah, I punched through something.
Yeah.
He takes off with my arrow, and he takes off to the south, I don't know, about 150 yards, and he just standing up there in the grass. I can just see my lighted knock at this point.
That's about what you can see on the video too. I'll be able to lighten it up some. So on the video, because people get to see this soon, like you can see the deer's there, and like you said, you're zoomed all the way out, which isn't a horrible thing anyway at last light because it allows
more
that
light
camera to have more light. But like, I'll try to brighten it up some. But you can't tell what deer it is. You can definitely tell it's a deer, and that lighted knock with the That's the strobe one.
Yeah, I love that strobe.
It's like you said, just some Star Wars stuff, and it goes whack, and then he takes off running through the weeds, and you just see that light of knock bouncing through the weeds.
Yeah, and that's when everything just went. I was already in the down in the dumps about missing that big one the night before, or a couple nights before. Mm-hmm. Then I made a piss poor shot on this guy.
Right.
So I was like really down, and then I just see.
Did you know right away?
I thought it was a shoulder shot 100%.
Like, but did you think, okay, I hit him in the shoulder, but he's going to die, like I got through there and got lungs, or you were thinking this is going to be tough?
This is going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
This is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I just, sitting there watching my light of knock, he gets to this top of this ridge in the grass, the prairie grass, mm-hmm. and he just stands there. I'm like, he's just figuring out what just happened.
Yeah, that's never good.
Then he just starts pacing back and forth. I'm like, is he going to tip over and fall?
Makes for an awesome blood trail, too.
I'm like, well, that's the thing. There's no blood.
Yeah.
I never found no blood mm-hmm. there at the plot.
Right.
So he just starts pacing back and forth. I'm like, is he going to fall over? Then the light just disappeared. I'm like, there ain't no way I just did that. Mm-hmm. Punched through that thing. So I'm like, I'm going to back out. So I think I called one. I think I'll call you. I can't remember.
You called me at some point, too. I don't know. You probably called both of us.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. That was so long ago already.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got out of there. I think we went back about 10 o'clock, I think I went back. Found where he went back and forth, and there's some blood there. Mm-hmm. Like, not great blood, but there's blood. So we blood trailed him, like, a long ways. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't even went back. He should just waited overnight.
Right.
But blood trailed him for a long ways. And then we got to the autumn olive patch, and we backed out. Or we stopped, because he went, like, 400 or 500 yards by then.
Yeah.
So we just stopped. We didn't find no beds, so we stopped.
Which isn't good either.
No. That didn't make me feel great at all.
No.
So, sleepless night number one. So, we went back in. I hunted the next morning, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I hunted the next morning. Slipped back out there just myself because you were working. I can't remember.
I can't either.
I remember you called me and I had stuff going on, too. I think you were at work. Or no, you were going to farm.
Yeah, you were farming.
Oh, we were cutting beans.
Yeah.
Because you guys were at breakfast or something, and then you went to cut beans. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I went back out there by myself, slipped through the autumn olives, just falling just specks of blood. Mm-hmm. And I would work about 20 yards, stop, get down low, because it's just an autumn olive thicket, just nasty.
Like the worst thing ever.
Yes. And I get pretty much down on my belly and get my binoculars up and just scan as far as I can with them. And then, I don't know, an hour into it, I found him. Mm-hmm. I could just see him up there, and he's just head just doing this. I'm like, there's no way I can get to him.
Right.
And not blow him out of here.
Also seemed like he wasn't going anywhere.
No, because he put his head down and just try to grasp everything together mm-hmm. and pick his head up, and he'd just be doing this. I'm like, I got something, because he looks like he's on death's doorstep.
Right.
So I think it took me like 4 hours to do finding. Backed out. I'm like, I know where he's at. Maybe he'll move to a spot where I can get to a spot where I can stalk him tomorrow. Because mm-hmm. he's worked towards a lake, because I figured he'd be trying to get some water.
It's funny, or I don't know if it's funny, but like how many of them, when they're hurt bad like that, will go towards water? Whether it's a pond or a creek or something that they know where there's water, like they'll try to get to that mm-hmm. for whatever reason. It's like their survival instinct or whatever.
Yeah. And he'd kept a clear direction this whole time. Like he wasn't darting. Like
no, it was all just, I was on a trail the whole time. So it was easy just to, at that point. Because they can only make so many trails in these autumn olive bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Tangled jungle mess. So I went hunting that evening, got another sleepless night, woke up, went hunting real quick that morning. Then the next day you was actually at your work. You was busy. I don't know. I called you and you was busy too.
Yeah.
So I went in there again. Actually, you was hunting because you came and helped me.
Yeah, I was off that day.
Yeah, you was hunting. So I went
cutting beans again, but
yeah, you was able to come help me after you got done hunting. But I found him and he was in a spot where I could get a stalk on him. He had moved maybe 50 yards from that bed I found him in. So you just got done hunting. I called you. You came over maybe 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I knew exactly where he was. So we had the wind perfect, so we made a stalk on him, and I was able to put another one in him and finish him off.
Yeah, and end it all.
End it all.
End the saga.
And I was like, it was more the biggest relief ever.
Yeah.
So I knew I felt so bad for a day and a half. I don't even know how many days it was now.
Yeah. I know
day and a half.
You're the only other person I know that's had almost as much trouble with that as I have, shooting deer and not finding them. In my experience, which yours is, that one's an exception, but I'm curious to know on your other ones, because it's happened a few times, right? Like, you've shot a couple that you didn't find, whether mm-mm. with a gun or a bow.
I guess the one last year.
Didn't you hit, gosh darn it. No, you said you missed that one. The great big, what'd you call him? Was it behind your mom and dad?
Larry?
Yeah. Did you hit him or you just missed him?
I cut his brisket.
Okay. So,
Larry down any.
Well, you said that you'd not found a couple before that stretch where you quit hunting.
No, I just miss.
Oh, okay. So, never mind then.
Yeah, I just miss.
What I was going to say, though, and I was going to ask if you had this same thing, but obviously that buck was different. And I don't know, your gun buck was maybe similar to this, but the ones where I've tracked and I haven't found a bed within the first 300 or 400 yards, I don't find. Like if I'm tracking, even on good blood, the one we tracked for 800 yards that we ended up going back with the dog and tracking another 300 yards, there was not a bed for the first, well, actually, we tracked him for 800. I tracked him for another 200 to his first bed, and then through, I think it was 1300 yards, we ended up tracking that deer before we didn't find him. But there was not a bed for like 1,000 yards, basically. Didn't find him. Any other deer that I've shot and not found, there has not been, either has not been any beds or there hasn't been one for sure within the first, I'd say, 300 yards, maybe,
Yeah.
And the ones that I have shot and found have either died in their first bed or it's like bed shortly after bed and all within the first few hundred yards.
Because
mm-hmm. they can absolutely go a long ways, even if you, let's say, double lung them or heart shoot them. Like, they can get a long ways in a minute or two if they just take off running as hard as they can. But if they don't just die running or bed down, I've had super bad luck finding them. The ghost buck, never found a bed on him. We tracked him a long way.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few at the cabin that way, too. Like, the other buck, me and you tracked at the cabin. No beds. That dude just dried up. That was autumn olive stuff, too. Did you have the little berries
yes. to
deal with? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Those are like the worst when you're blood trailing, because if those are smashed, it looks like blood.
Yeah, I didn't find hardly any blood, and there was not much blood in him when he...
That's interesting.
Yeah, like, I found, like, the one bed he was at,
mm-hmm.
there was lots of blood there.
Right. Maybe he lost quite a bit of it there.
Yeah.
This one tonight, a bunch of blood in him. But that both my holes, entrance and exit, were about midway, mm-hmm. so he didn't bleed a lot. Like, well, there yeah. was blood you could follow, but...
Well, this was...
And your shot was higher than that.
The entrance was higher.
Yeah.
The exit was pretty midship.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really curious to know what I hit.
Right.
Because gutting him, besides the fact that the follow-up shot, there yeah. was no holes in the rib cage.
Right. Right.
Like, I don't know what I hit.
Yeah. I don't know if they've cut him up yet or not. I was hoping to see that. If they cut him up yet, I'll let you know if we figure it out. Or if at least we can see structurally, like, on his bones or whatever, what you got into or where you hit.
Because I have no clue.
Because
he lost a lot of blood at the bed, and there was right. not much in him.
You might have got, like, a vein.
I got something. A major vein
or something. And... Because it's not going to spew like an artery, but mm-hmm. if his heart's pumping and it's coming back through those veins, then he's going to bleed out eventually.
Because on yep. the exit, there was like still fresh blood coming out.
Yeah. The other thing, you mentioned yours dropped. Mine dropped. He had his head up, but he definitely dropped because I aimed low and he fell right into it. Like, and when the video comes out, you guys will be able to see that too. But we had a guy, I just did a deer season daily, and that was what I was talking about, like string jumpers and aiming like top of the bottom third. And then that way, if they don't jump, you heart shoot them, top of the heart, or you double lung them. And if they do duck, you still double lung them. And some guy was talking about, did you guys see that comment? But didn't know what kind of deer we were hunting because he's been hunting for 30 years and he's never had one do that. And how are you missing low at, or how are you missing them at 20 yards or something like that? And like back-to-back deer at 40 yards that yours for sure could hear your bow.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was dead still. Mine, like you said, I was thinking the same thing. He might have heard the arrow because you can see it. He doesn't duck at first. But as that thing's getting to him, he does, and he falls right in. If he hadn't have, like, I might have hit him a little low. It might have been a little bit different story. I still would have gotten that offside lung, but might have had better blood. But it ended up hitting midship because I aimed a little low because he dropped into it. Like, I don't know how people can, like, just go watch a YouTube channel of some people hunting deer. Like, you can't beat them with a crossbow at 30 yards if they're going to duck. They're so wiry. And we've got, it's not like we're hunting Texas deer or Florida deer that are tiny little things either, or like Axis deer. Like, these are pretty big bodied deer.
Yeah.
They're not Saskatchewan, but the one I shot, the first one I shot was 260, I mean, 250 plus. Mm-hmm. And this one I shot tonight's right around 200 something, like low 200s maybe. And these deer just move. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. You can go watch anything. I don't understand why people don't. There's two examples of it right there. I wish both of them were better video so I could like slow it down and be like, hey, look at this. Both of these deer.
Yeah.
Dropped. And if your deer last year, both of the two deer that you've missed, had they not dropped, you may not have killed them. Mm-hmm. But maybe Palmer, which he didn't, I don't feel like he ducked as bad as
the six by five. Yeah.
And he didn't duck a bunch, but it was enough that it, like, had he not have, you'd either high-shouldered him like his, yep. I think, or loins, or maybe spine-shot him.
Yep.
So, like, and that was a big deer. Like, yeah. He was big-bodied at that time.
Yeah.
He was fairly run down when you killed him with a gun, but...
Yeah.
That was a big deer moving pretty fast.
Yeah. No, these things, they're pretty much always going to drop. Like, rarely do you see a video of anybody shooting one with a bow.
Yeah.
And they just stand there and take it.
Right. Yeah, they've got to be, like... It's either they're close enough, that 18 to 20 yard window they talk about, which in my experience, that's probably about right. Because if they're inside of that, they're still trying to duck. And it's not that they're ducking, they're just loading their legs, is how they load up to run. But if they're inside of that, you can hit them, you can aim pretty much true. But like you said, if they're outside of that, they're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're completely distracted by something.
Yeah, or like, say, like tonight. With that high wind, had he been at 30 yards, he didn't move by the time that arrow was 30 yards. Because, again, I don't think he necessarily heard the bow, even though apparently my bow is way too loud, as is yours, I've heard. Which you're going to catch crap for the last light thing, too, because that was some of the other comments that... Which I really enjoy reading a lot of these comments. It's pretty entertaining. And I will reply to some of them that I think, like the ones that are nice or like congrats or if they have legit questions, I'll reply to those for sure. If there's some that are just totally stupid, I'll just leave it alone unless it's like for my own entertainment. And then I will reply because there was one guy, it was the Rompala short on Facebook that where you guys were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think I was in there like right at the end or something, or maybe I threw in a word or something, but it was mostly you two guys. And he said, 2 A-wipes on a podcast are not the authority of hunting. And I commented back and I said, there's 3 of us. Thank you very much. Like those kind of comments, I'll reply something like that just for my own entertainment. But there was like 3 or 4 people out of the however many that commented on that buck that I shot on that reel that were like, last light looks like after dark or something like that. One guy wanted a timestamp for the DNR and all this stuff.
I guess people don't realize you have like 10, 15 minutes to hunt after the camera light goes.
Yeah, you can go to the lowest setting on the camera and like if you go absolutely lowest setting, you can kind of see on the camera after shooting light, but you can't film anything. Mm-mm. And you can barely tell what's going on. Decent camera light is gone 10 minutes, if it's cloudy more than that, 10 minutes before legal light. For sure.
And I'm still going to hunt up to that point.
I always fold it up after that. See, that's why, like, tonight I was so bummed out about that. Because honestly, and believe this or don't, I would rather not shoot the deer than shoot him and not be on camera. Where I'm at with, like, what I'm trying to do with building everything. And I don't expect you guys to do that because it's not your deal. I mean, you guys
good.
Are, you guys are helping out, but like your name's not on it. But for me, honestly, I would have rather that deer walked out of the plot than me not got it on video. I'm glad I got it on the GoPro because I think I can make it work. But I would rather have a deer like that get by than shoot him and not be on camera. I don't know. And I also enjoy that part of it and being able to look back. And even like something like the shot, if I didn't have the GoPro going, like I would have thought, okay, I'm based on the blood and the arrow, I still would have thought I got lung liver, but I thought I was maybe behind the rib cage even. And that, mm-hmm. that shot was on the second rib, I think I was what I was feeling around on. And the exit was great. But mm-hmm. like, I don't know. There's so much benefit to having it on video too, really. But you can't always get it. I've screwed up both of mine this year.
The first one is also in a light rain, too.
Yeah, that was not ideal. I had an excuse there, still not a good one. Like, I should do better. But I did have the camera in a plastic bag. Mm-hmm. That was not ideal.
This hunt brought to you by Ziploc.
Ziploc.
Did it snow on you today?
It did. So I got sleet this morning.
Yeah, it was nasty.
As I was riding my bike out after I shot that deer, the snow was coming down. It was really pretty. I wish I had the GoPro running, but I was still kind of licking my wounds and trying to find a corner to go cry in because I didn't hit record. But I don't know. One thing I did want to hit on before you guys get out of here, because I know some of you still got to hunt tomorrow.
I don't. I got to go to work.
Oh, you're back to work tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You had mentioned this before, talking about like the technology in hunting, and it's something that I kind of wanted to talk about anyway, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. We can talk about it more later. But the idea of, like, we're getting so advanced in technology that's out there, and specifically, like, drone technologies is a big one, and we can talk about that tonight, specifically drones, because I think it was Kentucky. I just talked about this on a Deer Season Daily, too, that had changed their laws to allow some of the drone stuff, but still not the others. But with as much ground as you can cover with a thermal drone, like, it would almost not even be fair if you just allowed people to use a drone to scout and hunt with. And that Kentucky deal was they could, like, if they shot a deer, they could use it to locate the deer. The person could tell them where the deer was, and they could go get it, right? I just talked to a guy yesterday in Indiana. They could hire somebody to come fly a drone and find their deer and tell them where the deer's at, but they can't go get it legally.
I think that's what Illinois is.
I'm not even sure you can fly it in Illinois. I'm not 100% sure of that.
I thought you could. I could be blowing smoke here.
Either way, I know you can't go recover them with it.
Yeah, you can find it, but you can't recover.
Yeah. But the overall question was, and you had brought this up, was like, how far is too far when it comes to, and we'll go drone specifically right now. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about that, because we've talked about it a little bit, but I got some thoughts on it too.
I love the thought and the idea of being able to recover your deer with a drone,
mm-hmm.
because the intrusion is not there. Like, I didn't want to take a dog with me on this one
mm-hmm.
after seeing him that morning,
right.
the next morning, because I figured he would blow it out.
Yeah.
If I had a dog.
Yeah. And
then
I
never would have found him.
Unless he's crippled enough the dog bays him.
That'd have been
somewhere, you know.
Interesting.
Which I don't think you can really.
That's like, illegal in Illinois.
Also not legal.
Yeah.
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 That could have been wild.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But drone recovery, all for it.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that people use drones for, like, I think this deer's here. I'm going to go fly up this drone and see if he's there. Oh, he's there. I'm going to go hunting. No, that's not hunting.
Right. Mm-mm. Right.
I completely agree with trying to find him. I know a couple of guys that have hired guys with dogs are supposed to be really, really good. And they said, I shot this thing. And, I mean, I know it went this way. You know, they started tracking. They said, I know it went this way. I watched it run across that field,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they said the dog gets there and he takes off just completely the other way, you know. He's like, I watched it go over there. The guy's mm-hmm. like, nah, dog's going this way, you know. He's like, all right, like, whatever, mm-hmm. you know. If you, I mean, you ain't gonna hide from that drone. You know?
No.
I hear people say that if there's leaves, you know, they're not near as good. But, like, I don't think you're going to get them to hide from that drone. If I've shot one, I want to make every possible effort to recover it, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean,
in the most effective way.
Yeah. And this is something that we have that we can. I mean, I owe it to the deer, you know, I feel like, to try to find him.
Yep.
And then, like, you go up north, some of them places, or even maybe out west, some of them places, I mean, if you hit an animal that you shoot at, that's your tag.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you draw blood.
So, I don't want to try to find this guy if I can at all, you know.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm done and I got nothing.
At this point, he's mine, and I want him.
Yeah.
You know, I want him bad enough to shoot him. I want him now still.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where, like you're saying, somebody take this drone up and say, where's this thing at? Can I hunt him or not? You know, that's way too far. But after the shot, I'm all for it. But I know that some people would exploit that.
I mean, they're already exploiting it anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we've heard, we've talked before, there's rumors of people around here that's got thermal scopes on crossbows, and they're doing whatever they want to do whenever they want.
Which, you know, guys are doing that in Coyote Season 2, I'm sure. Like,
yep.
With all the thermal technology there is.
Yep.
And, yeah, the drone one, like, I'm with you guys for when it comes to recovery, because, like you said, if you take a drone up, unless it's in super thick, nasty stuff with a lot of canopy, even low, thick stuff, you can see heat signatures because that deer's going to hold more heat than the stuff around it. So you can kind of pick, especially a guy who knows what he's doing with a drone. If, except for that where you got just a ton of canopy and you can't, because you can't see through the leaves and you have no gaps in it and he's not just in a gap, you're going to find him with the drone. And you're going to be able to tell, okay, is he alive or is he dead? Like you said, if you take a dog in there, I think dogs are great, and it's an awesome tool for sure. But, and some of the handlers are really good, and they know that dog, they can tell by its body language, okay, is this deer still alive or not? However, a lot of times that happens after they've already jumped him. And then, hey, we're tracking a live deer. With a drone, you could see, okay, is his head up? Is his head down? Is he still alive? Is he dead? In the daytime, you could zoom in on him and see, like, even if his head's down, you can tell, okay, is this guy blinking? Something like that. At night, you can't really tell that, but you can still tell, like, the position of the deer and what it looks like, right? So for recovery, I think there would be no better tool. I think that if I had a drone the night that I shot Ghost, we'd have found that deer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter where he would have went up there, I don't think there's anywhere he could have went that would have got away from a drone. And I still, to this day, think that deer died. But we ran out of blood in the bean field. Mm-hmm. He went across the cut bean field, and we just lost blood. And mm-hmm. if anybody has ever tried to track through a cut bean field without just a paint bucket blood trail, it ain't easy. So he goes across that bean field, and then that's basically where we lost him. Brought a dog in the next day, tried to track him there, didn't work out. And nobody ever found him. This was a deer that was like every 2 days, he was on camera, very regular. The night before I shot him was the first time I'd ever seen him in daylight camera or otherwise. And then the next day I shot him, obviously he was in daylight there too. But after that day I shot him, never saw him again on camera, never saw him in person. None of the neighbors who had also had him regularly saw him again. I think he went somewhere that we couldn't find him. And I walked all around where we thought he went. And there was some thick stuff in there he could have been in that I couldn't have found him just walking. I think he went somewhere like that and died. If we'd had a drone that night, we could have found that heat signature. And, like, we probably would have found him in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can cover so much ground so fast and effectively.
Yeah.
And efficiently.
And that's why also, and I think you guys are probably on the same page, I think that for the scouting side of it, or like you said, a guy's going to, where I kind of draw the line is at recovery, because I don't think it should be a tool to hunt, right? I'm okay with trail cameras. I'm okay with cell cameras. I think they're great because with a cell camera, you got that picture. Okay, you know he's in the area. And if it's during the rut, there's a good chance maybe he's still around because he's with a doe or something, especially if you see him going into a thicket. But, like, if you got that picture of him, awesome, but now you're a step behind him.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a drone, you know right now he's right here or he's not. You could cover 5 spots in an afternoon and be like, okay, I'm going to fly this drone. If there's a shooter here, I'm going in close to where he's at. I know the wind. I know where I can get in. If there's not, I'll move on to the next spot. And you just do that till you find a shooter buck, and then bam. Now, if
That's deer hunting with a live scope.
Exactly. Yeah, and if it was to the point where, like, we had absolutely nothing left to do to eat but kill deer, right? Then I think, by all means, we have the advantages, we should use them if people are starving and dying or whatever. But that ain't the case in America. We're very fortunate. I'm not saying there's not people starving, but we don't have to go to that extreme to kill a deer to feed people.
If you can afford a drone, then you can afford to probably buy some hamburger.
Exactly. So, to that point, I have a lot of issue with using it as a tool for scouting live deer. Now, here's an interesting one that I think is okay. Let's say end of season rolls around, and you want to do like a inventory on your farm of like herd dynamics, right? So you want to see, how many deer do I have? What's my buck to doe ratio? How many mature bucks do I have on the property? I think if a guy wants to do that in like after season, January, February, I think that's all right, because that, if you're doing that, you have management goals in mind, and you're doing it to build your management plan for the next year, so you can tell really fast, Illinois, if you guys would do this, it'd be great, how many deer you have in that area and what you need to do the next year as far as harvesting does, what your age class is in the herd. Like that I'd be okay with. I don't know what you guys think on all that.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about it too much, I don't guess. You could probably cover a whole lot of ground very quickly with that, and mm-hmm. at least get general numbers within probably 90% accuracy, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you find where they're congregated at that time of year, mm-hmm. and then the leaves are mostly off, so even the ones that aren't, you're going to see them in the timber. I would say 90% probably. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have a pretty decent idea buck to doe, because mm-hmm. you can tell bucks versus does on there. You watch the videos of those guys using them, you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
I would be okay with something like that. And I think they do that in certain places. Mm-hmm. They do allow it for that. I think it would be, in that case, it would be more of a management tool than like a hunting, because it's out of season. If they're shooting them out of season, then they're doing illegal stuff anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But it also all boils back to people's going to abuse the system no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what is out there, what's legal and what's not, people are... It's kind of like the old gun control thing. The laws aren't going to stop the criminals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would be nice, though, if we didn't have to be criminals for using something that would be beneficial. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If Illinois could figure out how to sell a license for it, then they would do it tomorrow.
You would think so.
Yeah.
And tax it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drone tax, recovery tax, whatever they want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Hey... that would count as their potentially proposed goods and services.
Yeah.
Yeah. What tax that along those lines.
Why this got me thinking about this, I don't know. But there are certain states, too, where if you are on an active blood trail, you can track onto a neighbor property without landowner permission.
Dang.
But you can't carry a weapon. I think that's what Iowa does.
I think Iowa, you can't go at all.
I thought Iowa, you can follow a blood trail onto...
I don't think so. I think you have to get permission. I think I just heard a guy say that the other day, actually.
Oh, they must have changed it then, because it used to be that way.
But there are states that are like that, and you're probably right. I don't think you can carry a weapon or anything. But thoughts on that? Like, because Illinois, you have to have landowner permission to go on and track a deer on blood.
I would not like that at all. Right. Because then they're, oh, I'm tracking a deer, and they're just trampling through your woods.
You would definitely have
especially if you have that neighbor that's just a... complete
see,
dig.
They have to be on blood.
You
so
got a guy with a pocket knife in his pocket.
Right. Yeah. Right. They would have, because that would be the only thing is you could, they would have to be able to prove they were on a blood trail. So how far are you willing to go?
Yeah. Got a Ziploc bag full of blood.
Right.
I have some.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of like, It would
depends
really,
on what situation you're in.
Well, on what side of the you're falling on. Because if you shoot a monster buck and it runs off to the neighbor's property and they say no,
I'm just thinking of the property up here north of town.
Yeah.
The sanctuary.
Yeah. Mm. Nobody can go in there for nothing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I guess that old man's gotten a little lax on that. There was a buck I'm thinking of. I can't remember. It was like Kansas or Nebraska one. This guy shot a giant He was staying on a military base. He was staying on military property. But it would come off. And this guy knew, you know, and he shot it. I thought he had his sheds for a year or two. I mean, a gigantic, typical, I believe. I hope I'm not butchering this story.
And so I think I know what you're talking about.
But, like, this kid, this thing came out,
oh,
and,
boy.
And he shot it, and it ran right back in there, you know.
Yeah,
and
he's of like, course it did.
And he's like, you know, I was just hoping that he would die before he hit the fence.
Should have aimed a little higher.
Yeah, yeah, like, for real, you know. But that, I thought I'd read an article or heard an interview with this guy, and he's like, I'm trying to figure out, like, exactly how far I can push this, you know, to try to get him. Because I know I made a good shot, but, like, they're serious. Like, you don't cross that line.
Right.
You know?
You got to get a buddy on the inside.
Yeah. But so then, like, if that guy was on an active, you know, like, that would have helped him tremendously there. Yeah. Uncle Sam probably still wouldn't have cared.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Federal ground would be different, probably.
Yeah. But, man.
See, I think most of that affects those public land guys that they're tracking on public, and then it hits the private property line, and then, like, and especially if it's someone that doesn't know the property owner, because then you got to try to figure out some way to get a hold of them.
Yeah.
To go track it.
That's almost always a nightmare trying to get a hold of them.
Right. Like, there's situations where I think it would be all right for honest people, but I'm like you, people would just be like, oh, yeah, I was just tracking a deer, and, like, they got freaking ketchup or something, and they're throwing it out there. Well, I had last blood 50 yards over there. I'll go show you.
Yeah.
And he went down this trail. I could tell.
Yeah.
I think he would run into a lot of issues. I don't know. Correct. Maybe in those states where it's legal, they don't, but.
I know the people around here, and I can only imagine how it would go.
They go anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they're doing it anyway. You always try to do the right thing and call. And, like, you might run into that. You could shoot a deer and somebody just be, for whatever reason, maybe they're just being a jerk. Maybe they've had bad experiences and they're just like, no. I've never had that happen personally. I have had, the closest I've got to that, a guy was like, yeah, you can go, but I want to go with you. Like, okay. Which I understand because he wants to know, okay, did it really run on there or did you shoot it on me? And there's places where, like, if one of the neighbors called me and asked, I'd be like, yeah, I want to come out there. Number one, I want to help them because I think that's great for everybody. But also, like, okay, take me to where you shot this deer.
Yeah.
Because I know where your stand's at. And if he was standing right here, no, you can't go find him because I know where you shot him at.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see where this took place.
I can tell that you have branches cut on my side.
Exactly.
So you can shoot on my side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is that. There's that.
Happened to be facing.
Yeah, right. Like, there's a stand that we tracked a deer under that is perfectly set up for a right-handed bow hunter to shoot across the fence.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, did he run over here or did you shoot him 15 yards on my side?
Tonight?
No. Oh. This was the buck we tracked for
1,000
yards or whatever.
Yeah. Be like, pull your bow back right now.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see this.
Which hand you pulling on it with?
So, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know why that came to when we were talking about drones, but yeah.
Back to the cell camera thing real quick. I know some people that hate them because they say it's not hunting. They said, you get your picture, then you just go out there and shoot. I'm like,
dang, I wish it was that easy.
Never went out there running as soon as I got the picture of this deer. Never.
I talked about that on the Friday episode. Like, the best luck I've had with using cell cameras for, like, that have got me an opportunity at a buck. When a cell camera has gotten me an opportunity, like, that day or shortly after that picture is, like, now, during the mid-rut. Especially because, like, take the cabin, for instance. I know if there's a buck on one of my cell cameras, he's likely there for a couple days. Or at least if I see him that night, he's probably going to be there the next morning or the following evening. So I've had times where I've got a picture, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to hunt here because I know he's probably going to be back. And I've had that scenario, but it's not like, it's not like I got a picture of him. Dang, I'm hopping in the truck and I'm running out there right now and I just kill him because I just got that picture of him. The closest I ever got to that was, I think it was a Sunday morning. I didn't go before church. I got a picture of this deer at 7:30 in the morning when I wanted to shoot while we were at church. As soon as church got out, I drove out to the stand and he came by at, like, noon at, like, 40 yards in the brush. And that's the closest I've ever come to killing one just a few hours after he was in front of a camera. But yeah, it's not like a drone, like you said, with a live scope.
Just lets you know they're around. To where, like, I don't know. I got most of the stuff I'm hunting in small patches, you know. And the same with you guys. I mean, a whole lot of guys around here, it's rare to have big sections of woods that are all, you know, joining that you have control over. If you got one that comes in one of these patches and is staying, you know, for hours, if you're just running regular cameras, you check your cards on the weekends or whatever, you know, or whenever you go hunting. Mm-hmm. Turns out he's there on Tuesday, but you didn't get your card checked till Friday or Saturday. You know, he was there Tuesday and Wednesday, mm-hmm. and you had a chance at him in your little patch, you know. He did what he was there to do, got rid of that doe, went on to the neighbors to the next one, and
yep,
there went your window.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I kind of had that situation. Friday, was it? The 7th. What, a Bill Winky day.
Oh, yeah.
I got pictures there.
Thursday. No.
Friday.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We was getting there. I finally got the pictures there at the one place I was hunting tonight. And there was like four bucks within 30 minutes of each other. So I knew there was a hot doe somewhere. Mm-hmm. They're all running. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went that night. I seen the 8-pointer that I'm after now.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about.
And he was with the doe.
Yeah, that's the best time, in my opinion. That's the most effective time for a cell camera. You could argue that early season where you can pattern one could be the best time to run them, to use that data to like make a decision on where you go to hunt. But I think during the rut, because like you said, you see those does acting goofy, or you see bucks behind a doe, you know that doe is in. But it's not just an automatic.
You're already a step behind because
they could be a mile away.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that cell camera is just. In my opinion, it is just like we're talking about for recovery with drones. It's less intrusive, and you don't have to drive around. It's more effective because you don't have to go around and pull cards and mm-hmm. put
Instead
them in something
being
and read them.
Five steps behind, you're just one to two.
Yeah. I don't think that creates an unfair advantage at all. No. I really don't.
No.
And a lot of times these cell cameras are fairly unreliable.
Yeah.
whether they don't have good service to send you a picture, or they just don't take a picture, or... I mean, they're just like any other camera, they're only seeing so much, so they're not getting all the deer. The night that I saw that big old buck, like that bully buck that was in the plot, I watched him walk right in front of that camera and come down to 10 yards in front of me and turn and walk down that grass, that lane. We didn't get that picture till over 24 hours later. Because for whatever reason, it just didn't send. So, like, if you're trying to hunt that spot based off of your pictures from that day, you wouldn't have went there mm-hmm. from, like, the day before. So, like, they're so finicky and unreliable, and it's almost across the board.
For the ones that we can afford.
Yeah. I feel like that's almost across the board for all the brands. Like, they're going to have issues because it's not necessarily the camera, but, the cell signal, for one thing, is so off and mm-hmm. on. I mean... I don't know. So, yeah, I agree. They're not like, I don't think that's creating an unfair advantage. I think that's technology that is good, but they've outlawed that. They've outlawed cameras altogether in a lot of places, like especially on public ground. Kansas, you can't have cameras on public ground. I think Arizona, you can't have cameras on public ground. I'm sure there's a few others, too. Can't run them. Yeah, because it creates an unfair advantage or something like that. I don't know.
Well, sure hasn't helped me none.
It might yet. There is still time. November 9th. And you guys get to hunt gun season, so. It feels nice to be done. I'm going to be cameraman from now on, so I'm glad I'll still get to hunt.
What was that thing you said with the Cody? You said, the comment you made, I got some killers on my team, and I'll be lucky if I kill 120, then here you are 270, 80 inches later.
Yeah, well, you'll have that. You'll have that. That deer was a surprise buck too. Didn't know he was there. Dusty had a picture that looks like it could have been him from 2 years ago when he passed him at 3.5. Mm-hmm. And so, which would make him 5.5. He's for sure 4. He might be 5. If it was that deer, he's 5. But like, that's the power of the rut, man. A hot doe. They can bring him in.
Yep.
So, and it only takes, one, but that only took 10 minutes. Like, yep. I'd gone from shooting my buck on the 26th to hunting like you about every day. I'd missed 3 total hunts since then, not counting filming, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I still count that as going hunting because you're
still out there.
You're getting out there. And just grinding like everybody else, and bam, 10 minutes later, you're mm-hmm. done for the year.
Mm-hmm. And Nate's been, what, seven times?
Eight times? I think so.
I am, like, this is one of my favorite things about doing what we're doing, though, is I still get to go hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for not being bucked out yet, guys.
I bet you're going to get to hunt with me all year.
I get to go hunt some better stuff, too.
I don't know, says the guy that's bucked out.
Well, yeah, but on this, honestly, on the same farm, too, that same mm-hmm. same place. I was hunting for the same deer both times, and he didn't show up. Killed two different ones. I was like, you said you got that one really on your mind. The one on the other lease, I've been, like, hunting fairly hard. And then that big 6x5 that I was after tonight again, and then the big one that I saw that came under me, like, right at last light. And then the 8 at the cabin because he was at the cabin. But, like, those four deer, I was like, I'm bucking out on one of these deer. Like, that's what I want. And that one, the big old buck that came under me, like, really got under my skin because I was, like, 5 minutes from killing him that night. And I was like, he's the one. And then, you know, a 50s plus steps out and all that stuff goes out the window. Thank you. I was hoping that doe would come, like, down in front of me because he would have been at, like, 20 yards. And then yes. when she went off that way, I was like, well. And I was sitting there thinking before, like, as I was getting everything set, I was like, man, it's awful windy. I don't know if I could shoot the end of this food plot. I don't know if I'd shoot over 40. Just barely. I did think with the setup that I have, it'll cut a little bit better because I've shot in the backyard in a lot of wind. Mm-hmm. And if it's super blowing crosswind, then, I mean, you'll get drift just like anything else. Mm-hmm. But a little bit lower profile veins. And the wind wasn't a straight crosswind. It was coming as I was shooting north, and the wind was northwest. So mm-hmm. it was kind of into the wind a little bit. So I don't know. It worked out. I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad I get to film for you guys now because I really do enjoy that too. So I don't know. You guys got anything else you want to leave them with? You gotta get home and get to bed.
Yeah. The goofy buck just fell into some bad circumstances. If I wouldn't have missed, the goofy buck would still be walking around.
You think so?
Yeah, because I wasn't going to shoot. And with him.
Yeah. That's all right. You get two tags for a reason. And he's a cool deer.
That buck, the one I missed, has a broken brow tine.
Does he?
Yeah. That's depressing. Yeah. It's like a 6-inch.
At least that's not a whole side.
Yeah, but it's like a 6-inch brow tine that's not there no more. So.
Yeah, that does suck. I had a deer like that the year I killed Ghost. I showed you the picture of him the other day. Super tall, wide, 6x6, great big brows, but they were spindly, and then breaking like a 3 and a 4 and a brow tine off all that year, which didn't matter because I never saw him in person. Well, one time I saw him in person, so anyways.
Yeah.
You always run that risk this time of year. That's kind of been on my mind, thinking about some places where I know there's more than one mature buck around, especially with those big, bully 8-pointers, and you're like, those guys got those big, dense 8-point racks, those little, dense 8-point racks. Like, he's going to bust up this big, tall rack dude that I want to shoot, so... Oh, you're always thinking about that,
or
too.
Big bully 7-pointers.
Yeah, that need shot.
The poverty bucks have been brawling, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 8-pointer's got a 3 gone. That stupid 6-pointer with the big split brows. He kind of looks like an antelope because I think they broke one of his beams off.
Did they really?
Yeah. I think I got one picture. I was like, what's wrong with that thing?
That sucks.
And I was like, if you use your imagination, there's two giant brow tines sticking up there, and then there's really nothing else on that one side. So he's got himself like a little antelope rack on that side. And then the 7-pointer. 7-pointer was there the day before. Me and you hunted that stand. I don't know.
It's too bad that dude don't have points because he's got a good frame.
Does he? I don't.
Like, he comes out past his ears pretty good. He's got some mass. He just has no tines.
Kind of like the 8-pointer that I'm avoiding?
Yeah, kind of.
Gosh.
So the way you can judge a deer with Blake, I've determined this, you got to ask him, if he came trotting by, would you shoot him? And a lot of times he'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, if he's got a chance to study it for a minute mm-hmm. and then figure it out, he's like, nah.
Yeah.
If that dude came trotting by, would you shoot him?
There's
I had that happen there 2 years. Was it 2 or 3 years ago?
There's no shame in this. You've had it happen many times.
Yeah. I've had it happen.
There's no shame.
I've had it happen. There was a very real possibility that could happen because there was a 10-pointer running around there that's probably like, I don't know, 130, 3-year-old 10-pointer. And me and Dusty were talking back and forth, like, at the heart attack stand, we call it that because they just show up out of nowhere like that buck did tonight. Like, he's just not there, and the next second, he's standing at 40 yards. And, like, I was like, if I didn't know this deer was here and to be looking for him at the heart attack stand, if he came out, he's dead. Like, he's catching one because he would look so good. He's got tall fours. He just doesn't have a ton of mass. He's not real wide. But if that dude comes right by at the heart attack stand where he's just, like, there and then he's not, he's probably going to die.
Yep.
But I knew he was there, so that cameras do help with that too. Like,
yeah,
a little bit of, okay, I know what's here, I know what buck that is, and then you get one like I had tonight that shows up, you had no idea, which is great too. And then sometimes you mess up that the one I have that's busted up hanging out there above my desk that's all puffed up. That dude came in left side faced me, big split G2. He's got like 10 or 11 inch G2 on him, spindly, but he looked huge. Of course, he's a 3.5-year-old deer. Why wouldn't his rack look huge if he had 11 inch tines? But he came in, that was the November 28th buck. Came in, just came out of the brush there south of the pin oak tree. There were does out there. He pushed them off. As soon as he came out and turned that left side, I was like, ooh, that's a shooter. Drew back, shot him. I was like, yeah. I texted a man. I was like, I just shot a good one. Like, he's a good deer. And then like, I heard him crash. And turns out I hit the artery back here because I hit a limb. And so more bad juju at the cabins. Only deer, I think, only buck I've ever shot and recovered there. But I went over there and I walked up to him and I was like, oh man, that sucks. Like,
where's my deer?
Exactly. I'm pretty sure this is yours. You get there. He's got your arrow in him.
Done that before.
Yeah. I had another one. The skull mount I have at the house. I was hunting it's probably like 135 inch 8-pointer at one of the places I lost here a couple years ago. I'd seen him regularly running this ditch. So this deer is a 10-pointer, but from that far away, he was very similar to this deer. And this was an old deer who wasn't huge bodied. He had a limp too. Like, he was old. So I saw that deer and I rattled. And of course, when he's 3 years old, what's he doing? He comes running, but down the other side of the fence row. So I caught a glimpse of him as he's coming across where we turkey hunted this year, where those jakes came out. Mm-hmm. He was on the other side of that when he came down. He came through that gap. And like, I saw a rack. In my head, I knew it was that 8-pointer. He was coming down. I knew it was that 8-pointer still. He stepped out and paid no attention to his rack because I already know what deer it is. He was at 30 yards, drew back, smacked him high shoulder, like that spine, like high shoulder spine shot, just dropped him like a bad habit. I was like, yes. And then I got to look at him and I was like, no. That's a 3-year-old, maybe 2.5-year-old 10-pointer. Like, that sucks. Shot him again. I came up to the shop that day and I just walked over to the stool by the cutting computer, and I just sat down, and Dad was like, well, did you do any good? I said, no. So I need to borrow your truck, though. told him the story, went out there and got him, but that definitely happens, and especially in a spot like where it's thick or like you just got no time, they come blowing by you, you stop them, you shoot them. Yeah.
Yep.
It's happened.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen again. It'll probably happen again.
And not for you this year.
Nope, not for me this year. I might film you guys. I'll let you guys know if it's not a shooter for sure. Yeah. I might tell you he looks really good too. I don't know. We'll see.
I have hunted with a guy before that you'd see a deer and he's like, you need to shoot it. He looks really good on camera.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I can't figure out what he's looking at. He's looking at the same deer that I'm looking at.
Where's your deer at?
I've seen 115 inches.
Uh-huh. Oh, shoot. All right. I think that's good. I don't know how long I've been going, but long enough. You guys need to go home and get to bed. And we'll do another one of these sometime soon. I'm glad we got everybody back in here.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, tough this time of year to do that, too. So
I'm in the presence of killers.
Well, I don't know about that, but
you guys are on the board.
Honestly, the whole team has had a pretty good year so far. Mm-hmm. And you'll kill one, whether it's gun season or not. You'll get
my truck.
Yeah, hey. You could triple like did the 1 year.
Easy. I'm driving tonight.
Yeah. All right.
I did say that if the 6x5 that you're hunting north was on the road, I wasn't going to slow down.
Oh, I told him I would tag it. Put that on Facebook.
That would be awesome.
We know he's close tonight, so.
That's right. Yeah, hammer down, boys. Well, Dusty's still got one tag. He might kill him. I told him the other day, I was like, you're probably going there one time and kill that deer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going south for his booners.
Yeah. I guess they've got that a little bit screwed up, but hey, it may be screwed up the other place, too, so I don't know. Thanks, guys, for tuning in to another episode. We'll have a deer season daily. Actually, it probably should have already came out as you guys are listening to this, but we'll keep those going for this week. If you're out there after them,